Again, I want to thank you for coming out and braving the cold. However, I do want you to know that since I came here this morning at around 8 o'clock, the temperature in the building has risen a total of 6 degrees. So I don't know which one of you is responsible for the heat coming up, but thank you very much. You know, to put it all in perspective, if all of a sudden it were 51 degrees outside, we'd all be going out, taking off our coats and everything and saying, oh, how warm it is. So just have that perspective in here. It's very, very warm, unseasonably warm in this building this morning. So I've been tasked with the responsibility of talking to you about vision. And I'll try to keep my comments short so that we can all go to a warmer place. But our vision statement simply is this in our bullet, in our website, and that is to be a light in our community. A scripture comes to us, we have a couple, but one, John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So I don't want to take it for granted that everyone here is walking in the light. You might attend church. You might believe some of the things that we believe. You might follow, say, the Judeo-Christian ethic, but that doesn't mean you're necessarily walking in the light. You walk in the light by placing your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, by asking him to forgive you of your sins and asking him to become your Lord and your Savior. In Matthew 5:14 through 16, it says, you are the light of the world. And this really is the theme verse for our church. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people put a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. The symbol of our church is the lantern. And so we very much want to be a light in our community. So I want to give you a couple of pointers. And I took these from a message that I read by Christopher Benfield of Shady Grove Baptist Church. And so I want to give him credit for that. And as I read it, I thought, well, I can't really do any better than this. And so with his permission, I give you these points. The first one is this: the light is personal. The light is personal. He said, you are the light of the world. He also said that he was the light of the world. And so we know that when we give our life to him, that light transfers to us, and we become the light of the world. Have you ever been around a campfire and you take a piece, maybe some charcoal, and you take it and you separate it from the fire? What begins to happen? It begins to lose its brightness, and pretty soon it starts to smolder and smoke. But then if you take that and you put it back in close to the fire, all of a sudden it's kind of reignited. Sometimes it'll burst back into flame. And so as we are connected to Jesus Christ, our light shines. We have a lantern back there on the table as a symbol of our vision for the community to be a light in the world. But that light, that lantern, while it's pretty and we have it in a prominent place as you come in, there is no light that shines. It has not been ignited. Just because we have a lantern doesn't mean that the light is lit. It is personal. And so first of all, we have to ask you this. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that your light is lit? Secondly, we know that the light is projected. It is projected. Jesus said, neither do people put a lamp or light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. You light a lamp so that it what? So that it projects light. Many of us have lights in our home. Have you ever been in a blackout where there was just no light at all? And what do? You begin to fumble around trying to find the light. In some of our homes, we have night lights in the hallway just to light the path to the bathroom, which as we get older becomes our favorite place to visit. And so we need a little bit of guiding light to get us there. We have lights on our car so that when it is dark, it will illuminate just a few feet in front of us so that we can continue to drive. We have lights that signal airplanes. They have lighted runways, lights along the runways so they know where to land. We have traffic lights so that we know when to stop and when to go. Otherwise, without any of this light, there would be chaos. Light is projected. In Luke 8:16, Jesus said this, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. You say, well, what's the deal with the clay jar or the barrel? In some translations, it's in a barrel. What is that? Or what is it that you put it under your bed? Well, if we are to be the light of the world, sometimes we let our light be dimmed. A clay jar might be a symbol of industry or productivity. Sometimes we get so busy that without knowing it, we cover our light. We have so many things going on that we don't have time to be the light. Under the bed, some of us are so concerned about comfort. Being warm in church, being comfortable, having a nice place to live, that what do? We take the light and we put it under our bed because why? Because we want to rest. We want to be comfortable. And Jesus is saying that if you are the light, that you shouldn't do that. Instead, you put your light on a stand so that everybody that can see it, everybody who comes to the door can see the light and can see their way. The light is projected. Number three, the light is profitable. The light is profitable. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. It is profitable. What is the purpose of letting our light shine? Is it so that we can be illuminated, so that we can be talked about, so that we can be put on a pedestal, so that people can see us? No. The purpose of the light is so that others will see the light and come to Christ. Others will see the light and glorify their Father, our Father who is in heaven. It is profitable. It is meant to benefit other people, not just ourselves. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. And then fourth, the light is productive. It is productive. In the same way, again, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Jesus said, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will what? Bear much fruit. You'll be productive. You will produce fruit. And so I want to get to the point of the message this morning, and that is simply this, to ask you this question, how bright is your light? How bright is your light? Are you walking in the light? Or did you just ask Christ to come into your heart and then you're comfortable with that little bit of light that you have, but you're not really walking in the light? When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so I would ask you, are you walking, first of all? Are you moving in the light? There was a phrase a number of years ago about churches, and you know, in church, and even in this church, if you come to family time, we sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. But the problem is, a lot of us only let our light shine when we come into church. And we have a little flashlight party, and we look at each other's lights, and we say, ooh, pretty, look at the lights. But that's the extent of letting our light shine. We're not really doing anything out in the community. It's a one-day-a-week thing. We try to go through life without letting people know that we're a Christian, that we're truly a follower of Jesus, because we don't want the ridicule. We don't want the embarrassment. We don't want them to ask questions. We're afraid that they may ask us a question and we won't have the answer. And so we just try to go through life and go about our week kind of in the secret service, so to speak. We don't want anybody to really know. Psalm 89:15 said, blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, Lord. So are you walking in the light? Is it something that you consciously do every day when you wake up? Do you plan on walking in the light? Is Jesus a priority? Is your faith a priority? Number one, here's some questions to ask yourself. Are you following Jesus? Am I following Jesus? We say, well, I follow Jesus. Well, what does that mean? I adhere to his teachings. I follow Jesus as opposed to Buddha or Muhammad. What does that really mean, to follow Jesus? How do you know if you're following Jesus? Did you just pray a prayer one time and so now you just going through life and following Jesus? Some Christians act as though, you know, we're doing Jesus a favor by going to church, and we're such good people that everything we do, we say, oh, we're following Jesus. But there's no difference. There's no conscious effort. We just live our life with the acknowledgement that Jesus is out there, but we're not really deliberately following him. The second question is, are you reading his word? Are you reading the word? Do you have a Bible reading regimen or plan? Statistically, they say that around 19% of, and that's probably a little high, of those who claim to be Christians actually read the Bible. So in a group like this, it would be what, two or three of us that are actually reading the Bible. The rest, if we were just to go by statistics, aren't really reading our Bible. We hear the Bible when we come to church on Sunday, but we aren't really reading the Bible. I've been there. I've been where some of you may be, where I try to read the Bible and I find that it's hard. And I didn't really know what I was doing. You sit down and you read, you think, oh, I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. And then what does the objective become? Well, you read those chapters and you get to check them off. And then at the end of the year, you said, I read through the Bible in a year. But you don't know what's in it. You're not really much better off for it. I found, and I mentioned this last Sunday, and I put it in your notes here. I found a website, mission119.org. This is done by Pastor Soper, who was a pastor of, he's been a pastor in a number of places, but I worked for him at the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Fulton some 27, 28 years ago. And there's a daily Bible reading, and then there's about 8 to 10 minutes of him just pointing out highlights in the Word. So I'm on my third week of doing this, and I got to tell you that, and it's Monday through Friday, in the morning I look forward to it. I'm eager to sit down in my chair and listen. At night, at that time of the morning, I can't read. First of all, my eyes are a little fuzzy, and I find that when I start to read, I either want to fall asleep or I get distracted. So there's an option. I can listen to someone read the Word. And so I press that, and I listen. And it's usually a chapter or two in the Bible, different stories in the Bible. And we start in Genesis and continue through. And then I listen to, like I said, 8 to 10 minutes of Pastor Soper highlighting some stuff. And if you really want to get into it, you can keep a notebook, and there's notes that you can take. And all, you know, it's for as much as you want to get involved. There are others out there, other websites, other books, things that you can do. But I would encourage you to begin to spend time in the Word. So again, are you walking in the light? Are you a Jesus follower? Are you reading His Word? Are you honoring God with your time, your talents, and your treasures? We live in a time where we have so many conveniences. It was interesting, a couple of months ago, we had a microwave above our stove. And when we bought the house, we put this microwave in. So it lasted a good long time, close to 18 years. And then it just died. And so we were, I don't know, 2-3 weeks. My wife will tell you 3 years seemed like. But we were a few weeks without a microwave before I was able to purchase one and install another one. And it seemed like such a burden that we didn't have a microwave. And my wife and I even had this conversation. Well, what did we do before we had microwaves? What did people do? I mean, you know, you had to heat up a cup of water in a tea kettle instead of just putting the mug in and pressing, you know, 1 minute or whatever. We have all these conveniences now, and yet we have less time. What are we doing with our time? What are we doing with our gifts, our talents? What are we doing with our money? If someone were to take your calendar and your checkbook, do people have checkbooks anymore? Your bank statement, would they be able to determine from those two documents that you're a Jesus follower? Or are they filled with other things? Number four, are you teaching those you influence about God Remember a while ago we talked about that leadership is influence. If you influence someone, if it's a child or someone at work or whatever, you are a leader. Are you using that influence to talk about God? Or are you using it for other means? And so when my son came up with this idea for this series, and I really appreciate the fact that he's coming up with these ideas and giving, I feel like I work for him now. He gives me assignments and I do it. But he said, so you can use this opportunity to share your vision for Lamson Road Community Church. And so I began to think about that. What is my vision for the church? Proverbs 29:18 in the New American Standard Bible says this: where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is one who seeks the law. There was one version I read that said, where there is no vision, the people decay. I love that. The people decay. In other words, where there is no vision, there is no purpose, there is nothing that is guiding us. People just do what they want. They throw off restraint. Everybody's doing their own thing. And when that begins to happen, then the organization or the church or whatever really begins to die. And so if I were to tell you what my vision is for Lamson Road Community Church in 2024, it would be these things: that the majority of our congregation would be in the Word on a regular basis, that the majority of the people who attend here and call this place their church home would really get in the Word. And there are so many ways to do that. I mean, you could actually sit down and just read your Bible. You could get a devotional guide. You could do it online. You could do it over your phone, project it in through your speakers on your in your automobile. There's so many ways to do it. But my vision is that the church, the majority of our congregation would be in the Word. The second is that the majority of our congregation would be engaged in Bible study. So not just reading the Word, but engaged in Bible study or small groups. Yeah, you can study the Bible on your own. I would encourage you to do that. But you can also study the Bible as a small group. And you say, well, I don't need a small group. Maybe not. But maybe the small group needs you. You know, the scripture says that we are like iron. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so there may be some who would benefit from your experience. And you may benefit from other people's experience. And so my vision is that we would be regularly engaged in small groups and Bible studies. If I were to announce that there's a small group meeting starting in 2 weeks, I could pretty much with, say, 75% accuracy predict who's going to be in it and who isn't. I would love for our church to be engaged in Bible study. And third, that the majority of our congregation would use their spiritual gifts in service. We call this a church service, but in reality, it's a church setting. A few of us serve and majority of us sit. I'd like it to be more than that, where people are sharing with each other and with me about how God is using them in the workplace, and God is using them in their communities, and God is using them in their schools and wherever they happen to be as they begin to utilize their gifts, where those people with the gifts of evangelism are talking about people that they shared their faith with, and those who have maybe the gift of intercession or the gift of prayer are coming and sharing, I prayed for this person and this is what happened. Or those with the gifts of help would come and say, hey, I was blessed to have the opportunity to help this person this week. That's what I would like to see in 2024. You know, we do events, and there's nothing wrong with the events, but the events become inward. We don't see too many new faces. And the new faces that we see, quite frankly, are people from other churches that came to our event. And that's great. Nothing wrong with that. But we don't see people who are lost. We don't see people who really need our help. We don't see people who need to know Christ. So my vision for the church is that we would just be the church. Not a gathering, not Lampson Road, but that we would actually be the church, that we would be followers of Jesus, and that our goal this year would be to become more like him in every aspect of our life. I think if we did that, we could leave all the big stuff up to him. Because when you think about it, I mean, there are a number of churches that have done major building programs. And they have beautiful campuses and whatnot. And in some of those mega churches, they're not even preaching the gospel. So you wonder, you think, well, was it really that big of a miracle? Was it a God thing that building was built? Or did they just know how to raise funds and appeal to the masses for donations? And so I think if we just focused on being as individuals what God has called us to be, then he would let the rest happen. So that's my vision. It's not maybe very big and exciting. But when the day comes that I stand before God, I would like to know that I did what he asked, which was to go and make disciples. And I think the saddest thing for me would be to realize that there were people who were in my church who never fully became a follower of Jesus. They liked my sermons, they liked the building, they liked the people, they liked the fellowships, but they never really became a fully devoted follower of Jesus. And so that is my vision for 2024. That you would get in the Word, that you would discover who Jesus is, and that you would begin to do the things that he asked us to do, and we would trust and leave the rest up to him. Amen.